This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Behold, there came up a little horn, declared the prophet Daniel. And that little horn arose to prominence out of a beast of 10 horns that was, he said, dreadful and terrible, having great iron teeth, which devoured and crushed all other powers, and was substantially different from the 3 identified world powers or beasts that had preceded it. They were called the lion, which was Babylon, a bear, Medo-Persia, and a leopard, Greece. The prophet Daniel had been a captive in Babylon. He had a grievous vision that profoundly troubled him. It would have troubled you too and me. When the meaning of that vision was revealed, the great beasts he had seen were identified as 4 kings, which shall arise, with the 4th beast being exceeding dreadful and diverse or different from all the others, having teeth of iron, nails of brass, and stomping all before it to pieces. Doesn't sound like a pretty picture to me. But then again, last week, we heard Reverend Franklin Graham. He said, there's no question about it, there's an Antichrist spirit in the world today. An Antichrist spirit in the world today. Does that mean the Antichrist himself is in the world today? Does that mean perhaps that this little horn is already there, ready to be revealed as we speak? We want to talk about that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. As always, it's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. By the way, we have had amazing response to last Friday's program dealing with the mark of the beast having arrived. If you have not heard that program, you need to avail yourself of the time to hear it. You'll find it there on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. And you can listen to it if you connect in with the satellite agency or there with oneplace.com. You'll be able to sign up for the podcast, which you will be able to listen to anywhere you are at any time of the day or night. I hope you'll do that, because that program so gripped people's minds and hearts that we have had calls saying, you know that project you've been talking about, the persecution project? I want to participate in that. In fact, I don't just want to participate in it. I want to tell you, you have got to get that book out immediately. There's no time to waste. The time is this moment, right now. I said, there's no way we can hurry it up any faster than what we're doing. They said, well, when is it going to come out? August, approximately August. Well, can't you hurry it up? Can't you get it out a few months earlier? We've got to get that out, and we want to help you get it out. Well, I am so grateful for those who have responded in that way and whose minds, whose hearts are tuned to see that the times we are in are the very times that the prophet Daniel described in his unveiling drama there in the book of Daniel. Today we're going to be talking about that. But if you have not already decided to become a participant in the Persecution Project, which, by the way, is the effort to enable all who are listening to become ministers in their own right, to distribute, to get out this message, to prepare God's people for the persecution that is coming rapidly upon the earth and upon America. It's coming more rapidly than you could possibly imagine, and this project is going to enable you to become a partner. Actually, you might say, God's hand extended in getting that message out for such a time as this. How do you do that? Well, in $250 increments, we are affording you the opportunity to receive 10 copies of that book. We're not selling books in this regard. This is an opportunity for you to become a disseminator of a message. No, you didn't write the message, but God wrote the message, and it's being put together in the context of this book called When Persecution Comes. How to Prepare the Church for Perilous Times. Now, for $250, you will make available to yourself 10 copies of that book when it comes out. The purpose of that is so that you then can take those books and give them out to people that the Lord puts on your heart and your mind. Perhaps a pastor, perhaps a parachurch leader, perhaps a friend, a relative, a child. There's no end in sight to the people that God might put on your heart to give that book to. Today, we have had a number of people who have signed up for the 10 books at $250. I received two calls today saying, in fact, one said, well, can I divide that up smaller? I said, no, we're going to have to limit this particular project to $250 increments because the purpose is to raise sufficient funds to be able to move this forward as rapidly as possible. So he said, okay, give me 3 weeks and I'll get it out. All right. We have had a number of folk who've said, you know what? I want to get 20 books out there. So we received a number of those $500 contributions. Then again, we received several $1,000 contributions, which would enable them to get 40 books to distribute. You say, well, I don't think I could do that. Well, that's understandable. You could help somebody else get them out. But in any event, in fact, you could be a disseminator by helping other people, putting them in their hands to distribute to various persons as well. The idea is to, as quickly as possible, disseminate this message as soon as it becomes available. You can do that by giving us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check, just put on the check or in a note, The Persecution Project. Or you can go on the website, saveus.org, saveus.org, and there's a special place there talking about the Persecution Project that will enable you to do it right there online. And that's at saveus.org. So again, we're very grateful for those of you who have jumped on board so quickly. And it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is moving in the minds and hearts of the people. They want to be able to do something. They want to be involved. They want to be able to do something other than just pray, which is good, but we need to be able to do something to get the message out. And now you can do that. You can be God's hand extended to assist. We're all doing it together then. And nobody makes any money on it, including yours truly. Nobody makes any money. It's all dedicated to getting this message out. When persecution comes, we'll be right back to talk about the little horn.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. As the prophet Daniel said, behold, there came up a little horn. A little horn. You can find about it in Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And throughout the chapter, we find this little horn and the environment out of which it comes described. Daniel said, in fact, the scripture says there that the prophet Daniel was distressed beyond measure at the revelation of this little horn. In other words, the little horn is not little, either in history or in prophecy. Now, just like Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, was said to be the express image of God in the earth, you can find that in the book of Hebrews, even so, this little horn will be Satan, the deceiver's express image in the earth, to draw all humankind unto himself. And that little horn is going to speak great things. He's going to masquerade as the master. In fact, he has eyes like the eyes of man, as if Satan himself were incarnated in him. Even like Jesus Christ was lifted up by the Father to draw all men unto himself through crucifixion on the cross, which we will soon be remembering. Well, we're supposed to be remembering not so much the crucifixion, but the resurrection. But there's no resurrection without crucifixion. Just remember that, friends. There's no resurrection in Christ unless you first are crucified with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So there's no resurrection without a crucifixion. We have to die to our flesh. We die in Christ so that we can be resurrected for and to Christ. All that having been said, as we prepare for resurrection weekend coming up this month, we find that even as Christ was lifted up by the Father, drawing all men to himself through the crucifixion, so this imposter Savior, the little horn, will be lifted up among men by powers that are not of his own, drawing the world to himself by his power that shall be mighty, said the book of Daniel. And that little horn, emulation of the Messiah, doesn't stop there. Just as Jesus was not married, so Satan's counterfeit will not regard the desire of women. As Jesus, to the Pharisaical viewpoint, seemed to not regard the God of his fathers, so the counterfeit Messiah will not regard the God of his fathers, but rather he will magnify himself above all. And through his initial appearance as the world peacemaker, this imposter or little horn will emulate the just one, that is, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, convincing the multitudes, who is going to clamor for somebody to bring unity to the global chaos that is coming, that he, if not the promised peacemaker, will fulfill their desperate desires and should be trusted. So rather than the people casting their care upon Christ, they are going to cast their care upon the Antichrist. So it should, it seems to me, be obvious that even as Jesus Christ was born and he lived and he died and was resurrected, declared to be the Father's sole hope for Savior of the world, so the deceiver's counterfeit, the little horn, will be perceived and received as the world's Savior and hope. Just as God, the Father, ordained and put all things in subjection under the Messiah's feet, Satan will claim global dominion through his masquerading Messiah, placing virtually all things under his feet. Even like the Son of God, who made the worlds as the brightness of God's glory, upholds all things by the word of his power, in the same way, Lucifer will invest the best of his brightness in the son of perdition, who's going to deign to dominate the world by the mighty yet dark and devious words of his delegated power. So, this little horn is not little, either in size or in implication and application. And as we've already said, the prophet Daniel was distressed beyond measure at the revelation of this little horn. So how could that which emerges so little fill the entire earth with unprecedented destruction and damnation? because that's what's going to happen. After the vision of Satan's little horn, Daniel made this statement, "I was astonished and fainted and was sick certain days, but did not understand it. The vision was shut up," he said. Apparently, because it wasn't intended to be revealed or comprehended until the last end of the indignation, for the time appointed the end shall be, he said. So, I am here to tell you, friends, that time is here. The Father, God, in his mercy and through his grace, his unmerited favor and his enabling power, is making manifest the gravity of that which was foretold over 2,400 years ago. And as they say, you know, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So we've been forewarned that in these latter days, as the prophet Isaiah said, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Are we there yet? Like the kids say, on the trip in the car, you've been going on a trip that's going to take you a half a day, maybe a day, and the kids say after you've been gone 10 or 15 minutes, are we there yet? Well, people, you know, we're like a bunch of kids. Are we there yet? And a lot of people get discouraged and they just think, well, I give up. We're not there yet. No, it's going to happen in the latter days, Daniel said. And Isaiah said, darkness would cover the earth and the gross darkness the people in the latter days. Jesus has said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So it has to get darker and darker and darker for the light ultimately to shine the brightest. So here's something that I want to share with you. And in later broadcasts, we're going to talk about the importance of light. You remember when Jesus was in the world, he said, "While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." But now, you see, he ascended back to the Father, and he said, now you are the light of the world. Now, our light is like the moon's light. The moon doesn't have any light of its own. It's the reflected light from the sun. Even so, you and I then become the reflected light from the Son of God, who ascended back to the Father, and in this ever-darkening world, you and I are called to be a light to the world. A light to the nations, a light to our families, a light to our cities, a light to our communities, a light everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, everywhere you go, you are to be a light. And remember, that light will shine more clearly, more distinctly, the darker it gets. So let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We're going to do several broadcasts dealing with this issue of light and our lives as a lighthouse, and we'll be doing that, well, soon. So look forward to that. So here we are, forewarned about these latter days, that darkness was going to cover the earth, gross darkness the people, and yet it seems that we professing Christians have a very difficult problem living in an ever-darkening world. It's us. We're the ones that are warned, since the non-believing world is condemned already. So you and I have to be reminded over and over again that all of the warnings of Scripture as to deception are directed to purported believers, both to Jew and Gentile, not to pagans. This is very important that we understand. So, maybe we should consider Jesus' words to those who purported to be his true followers. That is, by implication, the church today. Are we also subject to be potentially enveloped by and embrace the spirit of darkness that would be revealed through the deceiver's emissary, that is, the little horn, after his grand global entrance? Remember what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So friends, we have to be reflecting God's light without any tarnish in our lives. We've got to get rid of all the sin and everything that so easily besets us. So we have got to be reflecting the Lord's light clearly. These are idle words to be easily dismissed. We've got to take it seriously. So let's get back now to this little horn. The little horn is going to come in like a lamb, but he's going to roar like a lion. So in the same way, think about it this way. So Jesus came in as the Lamb of God, but the Bible also says he'll roar out of Zion as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came as the light of the world, while Lucifer, his very name meant light, sponsors the prince of darkness, the prince of this world. Jesus calls us to embrace him as truth by faith, but the little horn gains his global following by fraud and by flattery, not by faith. But the problem with this is that all of us, human beings, are susceptible to respond favorably to flattery. What do you think? How do you think American politics works? How do these guys run for office? They tell you what you want to hear. And if they don't tell you what you want to hear, you have all kinds of mean words for them. You might even have all kinds of lawsuits brought against you. Just throwing that out. So we want to look at this little horn. We want to look at Daniel's unveiling drama for the balance of the program here today. And no description of this little horn, the imposter, is more detailed or dramatic than what is revealed through the prophet Daniel in the book of Daniel. Now, for a more expansive view of this, you might want to consider getting a copy of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It is a $22 book. It's yours for, I think I indicated $18 last week. So we'll make it yours for $18. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. We want to get the book out there. We want you to be blessed by it. And so get your copy. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $5 for postage and handling. By the way, some of you may note that we haven't yet increased our postage and handling fee, even though we're not even breaking even. Because of the increase of postage, we're not even quite breaking even now. So we may have to do that, but we haven't increased it yet. So take advantage of that opportunity. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. By the way, if you think you know what this book is about, if you think you know it all and don't need to hear what this book is about, you got another think coming, friends. This book is going to grip your heart as you begin to discover, my goodness, there are many messiahs coming. Many messiahs are trying to clamor for attention in our country and all over the world. And they're all converging together. They're all converging together right now. This is how that little horn is going to gain dominion. Because there are many forces, many so-called messianic movements around the world that have nothing to do with Jesus. But they have everything to do with the expectation of some kind of a deliverer. The great white hope, or whatever you want to call it, will deliver the world from chaos. The book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Today we're talking about the little horn, but before we get back to the little horn, let's talk about Daniel, who actually is the one who revealed this message of the little horn that God gave to him. You know, we know that God is no respecter of persons in a broad sense. He loves every one of us, and he desires that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. However, God does seem to select out certain individuals. And here was Daniel, a Hebrew young man. He was taken captive to pagan Babylon, a godless and sinful culture. And interesting, even there, he was deeply righteous in his ways. In fact, God sent the angel Gabriel to him and informed him, saying, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding concerning an earlier vision. For you, here's what Gabriel, the angel, says to Daniel, for you are greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, I don't know about you, but it would be wonderful if, I think it would be wonderful anyway, if God would send an angelic voice and say that to me, you're greatly beloved, therefore understand the times and the vision that I'm going to give you. I'll bet you wouldn't be too upset by that either, would you? So maybe we should consider the faithful foundation upon which God the Father declared Daniel to be greatly beloved. It might even change our own lives. So, interestingly, God warned Israel by the mouth of the prophet Ezekiel what was required for them to recover favor with God. Three times, God declared Daniel to be one of the three most righteous men in history. In fact, he said, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall be delivered only their own souls by their righteousness. So apparently God saw Daniel as a very unusual person that God had raised up for a very unusual purpose, and that is to reveal to you and me 2,400 years ago, what was to take place right before our eyes today. So, think about it. Having been given by God a detailed glimpse into the world's future up to the very time of history's final hour, yet he was frustrated, that is, Daniel was frustrated by the failure to have the exact timing and full implications of what God revealed to him. That was very hard. It had to be very hard for Daniel. In fact, Daniel cried out right there at the end of the book. He said, and I heard but understood not. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And God responded, saying, you know, I'm not going to reveal any more to you now. He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. But go your way till the end be, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of days. So God sealed it up. The message was sealed up. But now is the moment of time when it needs to be, shall we say, unsealed. And that has to do with the little horn. It has to do with revealing the significance of this little horn, which is an obvious reference to the Antichrist or the imposter Christ. So, we can't make a mistake about it. Satan's goal is to take dominion over the entire earth, including you, my friend, including me, including all of us. That's his desired and declared intention from his rebellion in the heavenlies, and it's going to be his final move to become, as I wrote in my book, King of the Mountain, to become King of the Mountain, to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. And also, even more importantly, to be the ruler of the mount of your own heart, your body, your being, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the prophesied trajectory of Satan's world dominion was first revealed to Daniel by means of a great colossal statue. Babylon was the head of gold and descended to the Medo-Persian Empire, followed by the Grecian Empire, and culminated in the iron fist of the never fully disappeared Roman Empire. And this battle, this ultimate battle that Satan is waging for the souls of men, culminating in what the prophet Daniel called everlasting dominion before the everlasting dominion of the Messiah, those who embraced Messiah, Yeshua's dominion, will be only be those who have not submitted to the imposter's deceptive dominion, such as do wickedly and forsaking the Holy Covenant, will embrace the counterfeit Christ who is corrupting the world by flatteries. But, here's the encouraging word, the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Question, how well do you know God? Does he know you? See, what this is really talking about, the people who do know their God, is talking about the people who understand that God is God, and we're not, and that he is holy, and we need to be holy because he is holy, that he is righteous, and we need to be righteous because he is righteous, that Jesus obeyed the Father, and therefore we should obey the Father. In other words, we know God enough as revealed through Jesus, that we're walking in righteousness and in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And if indeed we match up with that definition in practice, we will be strong and do exploits in the end times. In other words, we're not going to capitulate to the demands through force or threat of force, through persecution, dramatic persecution, that is coming very rapidly. If you listened to the program last Friday, dealing with the mark of the beast has arrived. You need to go listen to it on the website, saveus.org, saveus.org. If you haven't heard it, listen to the whole program. It comes as a composite, not bits and pieces. And when you realize that, in the midst of all of that, if you and I are truly following the Lord with a whole heart, not just a pretender, not just a churchgoer, but our lives have been completely submitted to him, you will be strong and be able to do exploits even amid massive persecution. And the greatest exploit you might be able to do is to stand in the evil day, even in the face of persecution, even ultimate persecution. Daniel had to do that. Did you know that? That's why he was thrown in the lion's den. Yes, he was delivered, but not everybody was delivered. Read Hebrews chapter 11, the last 10 verses. Not everybody was delivered. Now, this great horn, or little horn rather, which is a great horn, it's a great imposter, is going to be presenting himself through democracy. That's how this Roman Empire was dreadful, terrible, and devouring. Its government was very different than all the previous governments. And you hear people in America keep crying out, our democracy, our democracy, our democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a democratic republic. In other words, our founders understood the serious dangers of pure democracy, and they would not embrace it. They said it was perhaps the most fearful government to have. If the people were not under God and under God's authority and submitting to his word and will, his ways, the collectivized group of people that was submitting only to their own authority would collectivize their rebellion in such a way that there would be nobody able to stand against them. Have you looked lately at what's happening in the United States of America? Have you looked lately what's happening even under the color of democracy and law? Using the Department of Justice to drive massive injustice because a large group of people want that to be? Totally perverting the very nature of justice as we have understood it in this country? Friends, we're seeing the foundations of the little horn having been laid in this country. Godless democracy. A republic is a democratic form of government, protected insofar as possible from majority and godless tyranny by a series of checks and balances that those who are acting tyrannically now in the name of democracy are seeking to get rid of. They're seeking to get rid of all checks and balances. In fact, this very day, as this broadcast, just before this broadcast came on the air, this very day, leaders, Democrat leaders throughout the country were alleging that the Supreme Court ought to be dissolved because it didn't do its will. It didn't do their will. In other words, they want to democratically destroy all the checks and balances that have been established because of the sinfulness of man. Back to the little horn.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Not much time left, so we're going to move quickly here. We go back to Rome, the final one of these four great nations, the last of all of them in the great Colossus vision by the prophet Daniel. You see, Rome was a republic. that shed its Republican protections in favor of a man exalted democratically to the status of emperor. And that emperor then ultimately clothed himself in deity, assuming public worship as the Pontifex Maximus. That was the complete merger of civil government and religious authority. That title, an identical authority then, was transferred around 200-something A.D. to the, as the Roman Empire declined, was transferred to the bishop of the Roman Catholic Church, which under the preceptor of the Vatican, the smallest, the world's smallest city-state, now claims to rule over all governments of the world as Pontifex Maximus, more commonly known as the Pontiff. And it all began as a democratic republic. So it seems that it shouldn't take a rocket scientist to discern the immense danger lurking in the unfettered power of godless democracy of globally diverse peoples to impose their will on the planet by democratically elevating a counterfeit savior to global power through political flattery and glorious promises. And then, when the world's democratically established 10 powers or horns, then give their ultimate authority to a charismatic leader, the little horn, for global peace and security, all protection will have been forfeited on the wings of a false faith. So Daniel, the prophet, describes that little horn as being diverse or very different from the 10 powers that delegate their authority to him for world redemption. And when that imposter's power, the little horn's power, is secured, he begins to reveal his identity through his modus operandi, and he will speak great words against the Most High, against God. He'll wear out the saints of the Most High. Doesn't that sound like persecution? And if we're out of here, friends, how is he going to do that? All of this is going to be done under the progressively established authority of democratic diversity, that is, diversity without God, democracy without God. Now perhaps you can understand, we can all understand better, what our earliest founders said our government was made for, a moral and Christian people, and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Unless there is a moral and spiritual foundation, even a democratic republic won't stand. Now, this little horn or imposter is not going to gain dominion authority of the earth by his own power. His ultimate dictatorial power is going to come as a result of progressive democracy that empowers 10 regional powers, which will divest themselves of their power and delegate it to this little horn, who ultimately is Satan's final representative. And it's demonic. This progressive delegation of world power, first to these 10 horns, meaning 10 authorities, will be demonically informed democracy. And it's going to culminate by demonically inspired delegation to Satan's personal representative. So it's kind of like the 10 horns, regional governments, then actually elect a president who they think is the most likely to be able to accomplish their agenda. A little horn. The Antichrist. The Apostle Paul calls him the son of perdition. So, Daniel describes this coming imposter, this little horn, as working deceitfully. He's going to gain power and dominion through pretense and false promises, just like politicians do. He's going to come in promising peace. He's going to enter the world's most infamous league or covenant or treaty, which he will break as soon as his intended purpose is achieved, giving him unprecedented dominion over even the land of Israel, the glorious land that was given an eternal leasehold by God. And then he will exalt himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, as the Apostle Paul writes in Thessalonians, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You think that's far out? Friends, that is exactly what the leaders, the godless leaders of our world, intend. They want to become God. They believe that they can accomplish this through technological salvation. There's even a chapter in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, called Scientific Salvation. It's called, this new technology is a modern quasi-religion whose daily miracles are commonplace, said one. Will humans be satisfied to be like God, or will you persist to become God? The goal is to ascend the human race. Andrew Torba, the CEO of a company called Gab.com, asserts that the tech giants are looking at creating a post-human race, destroying our humanity by appending technology to our bodies, and they believe to our souls. They call it transhumanism. A whole chapter dealing with that in the book Messiah. Why would that be included in a book Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages? Because, friends, that is the spirit of the age. Just listen to my program last Friday. The beast's mark has arrived. Listen to the whole program, friends. SaveUs.org. Right there at the website, SaveUs.org. And when you do, you're going to be wanting to tell others to listen to it as well. That's what's happening all over the country. We've had several calls today from people who listened. They said, wow, I can now see it. This is what's happening. The little horn, friends, is just about to be revealed soon, and we have to be ready. The prophet Daniel describes so many things about this little horn, the imposter, calls him a vile person. The word vile is pretty a horrific characterization, implying moral debasement, pure wickedness, despicable. And only such a person, the veritable incarnation of Satan himself, could wreak such destruction and havoc in the earth as will soon come. And is already becoming manifest. All you got to do is understand what Bill Gates came out and publicly declared last week. It's on that program, SaveUs.org, last Friday. The mark, the famous, the infamous mark, has arrived. I'm not just talking about it anymore. It's here. And 20% of the world's population is already under its governance. Now, this so-called Prince of Peace, the little horn, nothing's going to seem to deter him from his pursuit of absolute world dominion. On behalf of his boss, Satan the Deceiver, And Daniel said, the prophet Daniel foretold that this fourth beast, out of which the little horn counterfeit message emerges, will be exceeding dreadful, will break, devour, break in pieces, and stamp the residue of the world with his feet, devour the whole earth. This terrifying, devouring destruction will be unprecedented on this planet. And as Daniel said, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. And Jesus reiterated that warning just 2 days before his crucifixion, right there on the Mount of Olives. Here's what he said. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that is, when this little horn, this imposter, this counterfeit, this Antichrist, facilitates the rebuilding of the temple and marches into that temple and declares himself God. That's the abomination of desolation, just like Antiochus Epiphanes did back a couple of hundred years before Christ. Then, Jesus said, shall be tribulation, great tribulation. This is the only place in the Bible that talks about great tribulation. There is no other place in the Bible other than what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. That is the great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time nor ever shall be. Now, if everybody was going to be out of here that was a believer, why was Jesus talking about the prophet Daniel and talking about this? Why did he have to talk to this to his disciples about it? They were believers. Why would he do that? You see, we're playing games with ourselves with false theologies. We've made them up to try to pretend, make people feel good that they're not going to have to deal with anything. No, we're not going to have to deal with the wrath of God that is poured out on the children of disobedience, Paul writes. But there's no place we're told that we won't have to deal with the wrath of man or the wrath of the little horn. I hope you're listening. That's why we must be strong. That's why Daniel says, but those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits even in the midst of that rabid persecution. Even in the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, your people, true and faithful believers in Messiah, Yeshua, both Jew and Gentile, shall be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book, Daniel writes. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Daniel's unveiling drama, the little horn. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. I hope this has been somewhat helpful, maybe challenging, but this is what the Bible says, is what Jesus said. Jesus warned us about Daniel's warning, and so we do that here today on Viewpoint. Get a copy of the book Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. $18 will put the $22 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, and become part of the Persecution Project, friends. Seriously consider it. Go before the Lord, see if he would have you to do that. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.